Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, WGN Radio. And with the shocking news last week that Alex Trebek just said he is going to fight his pancreatic cancer, we had so many questions about pancreatic cancer. Some of the things I might have said may have been false. I said that usually it's found when it's already in a later stage of it. There aren't that many symptoms.
Yeah.
But we figured we'd go to an expert. And so we have Dr. Arlene D'Souza on the line with us, medical oncologist at Northwestern Medicine, Northwestern Medicine Del Nor Hospital. Dr. Arlene D'Souza, thank you for being on with us, first of all.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was pretty shocking news to hear Alex Trebek, stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and we have a bunch of questions about this. Stage 4 is something, what I've heard is that there aren't that many symptoms, so usually when pancreatic cancer is found, it's usually in that later stage. Is that true?
That's true, and to back up, because I think that not everyone knows what stage 4 means, essentially it means that it's spread beyond the pancreas to other organs. And I think that one of the reasons that pancreatic cancer is such a scary disease is because it is quite aggressive, and it has very vague symptoms. So when people typically do end up going to the doctor, they end up being at a later stage where a curative option isn't available to them.
Who is most susceptible to this type of cancer, doctor?
Well, there are certain risk factors that some people have. So maybe 5 to 10% of patients have some sort of genetic risk. But the remainder of patients can have risk factors like, you know, cigarette smoking. Our Western diet is a risk factor, so high in meats, smoked and processed foods, alcohol, and people with high BMIs and who have a high caloric intake. Those are risk factors, but we often see patients who don't have any of these risk factors who continue to get diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So it's not definitive that one of these things would cause it.
You mentioned the smoking, the junk food, a high BMI. Aren't these a lot of the risk factors for almost all the types of cancers?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. So these are pretty nonspecific. So that means that if, you know, just doing these things doesn't obviously make you certain to have pancreatic cancer, but they are kind of the things that we have identified as being associated with an increased cancer risk.
What are some of the symptoms that people should be looking for?
Well, and you've touched on this as well, that the symptoms are relatively vague. So the most common symptoms that people have are a loss of appetite, unintentional weight loss over the course of a few months, and pain. So this can be pain in the abdomen, or it can even be back pain. Sometimes people present with something called jaundice, so when their skin turns yellow. And often it's seen by lab abnormalities, like elevated liver function tests on routine lab work.
Now, I know with my dad was a childhood diabetic. He only lived till he was 46 years old. I know the pancreas has something to do with diabetes. Are you finding out that there's any connection between a diabetic and someone who has pancreatic cancer?
So they do say that some people with diabetes have an increased risk of developing pancreatic cancer, but we also see that people who are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, when you kind of look at them, that they have often been diagnosed with diabetes in the past several years. So there's some ongoing studies suggesting that, you know, in our older patients who are thin and maybe without any risk factors, if they're newly diagnosed with diabetes, that we should maybe take a closer look and make sure that there isn't something else going on.
How many annual cases of pancreatic cancer are there in the United States?
About 56,000 a year. And among men and women, it's the fourth leading cause of cancer death. So it is pretty common, actually, and it is a very, you know, scary disease that affects many of us.
Split up fairly evenly, doctor, between men and women, or not so much?
I think it's a little bit more among men than women, but I think the numbers are coming closer together.
And what about age group? I mean, is it something that you notice later on in life, or can young people get this?
So less than age 45 is relatively uncommon, but after that you see a big spike in the numbers, and even, you know, in the 40s and 50s, it's less common than people older than that. So as we age, it does become more common.
Can we go back just for a second to your last answer? I've heard other doctors say, not just of pancreatic cancer, but other cancers and heart attacks, heart ailments, that it was once dominated by men, and now as time goes on, it's become more of a 50-50 proposition. What's causing that?
You know, I'm not sure that we know. It might be lifestyle modification. You know, in terms of things like tobacco use, you know, men are smoking less, and women these days are smoking a little bit more. So you never know if it's kind of those non-specific lifestyle modifiers that are kind of evening out the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, and think about it. More women have careers and are working full-time as opposed to stay-at-home moms. So when you have that, you have more stress.
Yeah.
So,
And more, you know, maybe higher caloric intake, maybe eating more of those processed meats, and, you know, kind of like the high BMIs and things like that as well.
All right. So Alex Trebek was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, 78 years old. He says he's going to fight it. The treatment has got to be pretty rough.
You know, so the chemotherapy is you know, it's really hard for some people. It's not that hard for other people. It kind of depends on how functional you are prior to beginning in terms of kind of how well we anticipate people doing. So, you know, people who are in good health, who haven't lost a ton of weight, who are pretty active, tend to do better than people who kind of come in very frail and weak. But, you know, I would certainly say chemotherapy is not easy, and you know, it does come with its fair share of toxicity.
He said he announced last week that his plan is to continue to work throughout his fight. Is that a doable thing? Can you conceivably work while you're battling something like this?
I think you can. And again, it depends on kind of how hard it does hit you, the chemo that you're getting. But a lot of my patients are able to work on a nearly full-time schedule when they're getting their treatment. So I do believe that, you know, there's a good chance that he might be able to continue to do that.
Okay.
Dr. Arlene D'Souza, a medical oncologist at Northwestern Medicine at the Northwestern Medicine Del Nor Hospital. What are his chances of survival? I mean, what about the treatment? How effective is that?
Well, that's a good question. So I think that if you look at the numbers, you know, the 5-year overall survival rate is pretty dismal. It's less than 5%. So most people, truthfully speaking, don't live that long. But, you know, there are newer combinations of chemotherapy that are extending people's lives. So, you know, he was, I think, in one of the news articles that I read, it said that he was hoping to live about 3 years. I mean, I think that's ambitious. But with our new treatments, that's, you know, it's certainly reasonable to be hopeful for, you know, to live over a year, maybe 2, even 3.
And both Bill and I lost our moms to cancer, different types. But I know that when my mom had cancer, she went to this seminar that tried to give her this positive mental attitude, to treat the cancer as the little dots in Pac-Man, and you are Pac-Man going through and just destroying it. How important is a positive mental attitude for fighting cancer?
You know, I think it's really important, and I see that with my patients. You know, I think you could never fault somebody for, you know, for getting very down and kind of becoming overwhelmed with their diagnosis. But I see that people with really good family support and people who are, you know, super motivated, a lot of my patients kind of turn to yoga and meditation to help them get through it. I find that they do very well, and I don't underestimate how the power that kind of positive mental attitude and good family support plays.
A texter, Robert, wants to know if this type of cancer, pancreatic cancer, is particularly painful, doctor. Is it?
It is. So, you know, I said one of the side effects are relatively nonspecific, but one of the most common side effects is just this vague pain in your abdomen. Sometimes it goes to your back. People have a hard time describing it, but it feels kind of like an ache often. And, you know, as the cancer progresses and gets worse, this pain can become quite an issue. So that's kind of one of our focus whenever we take care of these patients, to make sure that, you know, during the course of their disease, that we manage their pain and make sure that they're as comfortable as possible.
Say again, you said it feels like what initially? You broke up for just a second. What is it?
Sorry about that.
That's right.
So it's a vague abdominal pain. So sometimes people say, you know, sometimes they say it doesn't hurt. It just feels uncomfortable. It's just kind of this funny feeling in their stomach. And I think that And some people say it's a sharp pain in their belly. Sometimes it goes straight to their back. So it's different for everybody, but I think that that's kind of part of the reason why identifying the symptoms of pancreatic cancer is so hard, because it's so different in each person.
So for most of us, what do we need to do? Is there a screening process that we should go in every year, every 5 years, to have them look at us? What do we do?
Unfortunately, there isn't. And I think that's kind of part of why pancreatic cancer is so aggressive, because there's no standard screening for kind of members of the general population. Now, if you have a first-degree family member who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, more and more patients are kind of are seeing a genetic counselor to see if they have some sort of mutation that might require that they would get screening. And screening would include maybe imaging of the pancreas as well as endoscopic evaluation. So that's the tube going down your throat and kind of looking around to see if there's any masses within the pancreas. So that's not the standard of care, but if you have a positive family history for it, like multiple members of your family have it, this might be something that would apply to you.
The treatment of cancer and cancer research has just come such a long way, and I know each and every day there's more and more that's found out about curing this terrible disease. How do you determine, and I know that it comes to an oncologist like you, but how do you determine whether or not it's radiation or chemo or the combination of the two?
So I think that it's based on kind of the characteristics of the tumor.
I think we lost her. Dr. Arlene D'Souza. She's gone but not forgotten.
Oh, okay.
We are going to take a quick break. Are you back, doctor? We could just.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Sorry, yeah. Yes. I guess this will be our last question, just determining whether or not you get chemo or radiation or both.
So I guess to answer quickly, if the cancer's in a lot of locations, like if it's in your liver or in your lungs or throughout your belly, then chemo makes sense. If it's localized to just the pancreas, then we always do chemo, but we decide, if it's in kind of just a few spots, if radiation could be helpful.
And surgery, is that sometimes helpful?
Surgery is your best chance of cure. So for the 15 to 20% of people who have localized disease, meaning it's just in the pancreas, surgery is actually the standard of care, followed by chemotherapy or with chemotherapy.
And someone, we don't have time to take it, but can you get a pancreatic transplant? Is that in the works or in the making?
No, not at this time.
It's really a terrible news that we heard about Alex Trebek, 78 years old. His contract expires in 3 years. He doesn't plan to expire before that.
Him.
So fight it and do your best. Dr. Arlene D'Souza, medical oncologist at Northwestern Medicine Delnor Hospital, and that's out in Geneva. Thank you so much for answering some of our questions.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you, Doctor. You know, the upsetting part, it's all upsetting, but the worst part of this is that normally if somebody of some stature, somebody of some renown has something, it creates an awareness for it, and you go, well, maybe this will save lives, but because there's little to no screening that can be done, it doesn't really save lives. Because like I said, I asked her that question about what do we do, how do we make sure we don't have it, and it's just not there.
And, then I'm thinking, if you're getting your endoscopy, which... sometimes we all have, I had both of them at the same time, just knock it out of the park at the same time.
Yep.
Can they look for that while they're there, even though they don't suspect it?
I don't know the answer to that.
It'd be
helpful. It'd be handy if they could pull that off. So,
cancer is very scary. And sorry to all the people who have been texting us with not good results, just saying that they've had close friends or family members that had pancreatic cancer, and it wasn't really a very long road after the diagnosis, and quite a painful and crappy one.
Awful.
So sorry about that.
All right, a break and then more show. Stay here at Bill and Wendy WGN.